to do something for 2 weeks in a row here. Today I want to talk a little bit about how we've defined our mission, you know, as a congregation. And then next week, just some things that we've been talking about, praying about, been thinking about, just a way of thinking kind of what we have that's, you know, to help us be what God's called us to. But then some things I really sense that God wants us to kind of stretch out in. And I suspect most of you will be the ones that will bring that into being. And I need to say something only because people have been asking me. I know it's my fault. I brought it up, you know, the last couple of years saying, you know, I'm thinking in terms of, you know, transition at some point. I'm not going to be senior pastor all of my life. And people ask me questions. And I want to be sure you understand, I see myself here for the next 7 years. That's a pretty long time. And my intention is to kind of see through what we've started and what we're doing here. So please don't be thinking, you know, are you leaving next year or no, I'm not. So I want to be a part of what, you know, what's happening here. And I'm sure at some point my role in it will change, but that's going to be a little while. So I'd like to read Ephesians 4:11 through 16, and then I want to talk about our mission statement, just kind of how I view it. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, reading that, I thought I should have done a whole sermon on that. That is just an awesome passage, but that'll be another day. I believe it was back in 1999, we really felt like we needed some clarity in terms of who we are as a church and what we're called to do. And so we went through a process where many of us were praying. We got all the leaders in the church to begin thinking, looking through our values, our experience, our history, and to come up with a statement that we felt like says kind of what our life is and where we want to go. And that's the statement that you're reading up there. It says, building a compassionate community that draws people of all cultures and generations into an authentic, intimate, and supernatural life with Jesus Christ. Now, it's kind of a mouthful a little bit to actually memorize. So I sort of think of it as like three main pieces, and the rest are kind of modifiers that sort of describe the way we go about this. So I basically, if I were going to boil it down, I would say a community that's drawing people into life with Jesus Christ. That's kind of at the heart of it. But probably every church could say that and would say that, you know, in some different words. And then to me, the other words say a lot about how we view that process, what should characterize our going about as a community that draws people into life with Jesus Christ. And as I went back through that this week, I thought, man, this is really good. This is really good. And I'd have to say, for me, it really does put into a couple sentences here the kind of church that I believe God has shaped us into, is still shaping us into, and gives us some clarity about what we ought to be as a people, as a community of faith in the city of Houston, and really to a degree around the world. And so as I talk about this morning, you know, I just really want you to hearing what God is saying to you, kind of how you fit into that, what this means, what the challenges are. You know, sometimes, and I'll talk about this probably more next week, there are some very specific and unique things about how we've chosen to be as a church. And sometimes it's a little scary. It's like, don't we want to just like be sort of a general, you know, where everybody feels like this is the place for me? But I really think if we're going to be true to God's voice as we've heard it over the years, we can't do that. We have to embrace some particularity, even though that makes us nervous because there are some people who are going to say, I don't want to be part of that. That's, you know, I don't see the city that way. I don't see the church that way. But if we believe God sees us that way, then we have to give ourselves to that, and we have to hold that banner high and pursue it, even when we have doubts at times or we wonder, is this really going to work? If this is what God has called us to, then this is what we're going to do. And I believe he has called us to even the particularities of the way we define ourselves as a church. So it starts with a community, and we understand that whatever we do, we do it together. And for us, we believe that at the heart of life in Christ is that we have been brought by the very nature of our life in Christ into the life of his people, and that gets to be lived out in a specific local community where we can actually know each other to a degree, love each other, help each other grow, as Ephesians said, build each other up so that we can someday reach that maturity. And we know it is not possible without one another. And so it starts there. It's in the community that we find our strength and support to be what God has called us to be, and that we have a chance of growing up to be more and more like Jesus. But we realize that community is being built. You know, we're not building it on our own. God is obviously the one providing the life, but we're building it. It's like we haven't arrived. We haven't achieved. We couldn't say, if you want to know exactly what it looks like to be a community that lives under the love and rule of Jesus, here it is, you know. Well, yes and no, you know. The fact that we're building it means it's in process. It also means if you're building it, it takes work. It doesn't just happen on its own. The fact that we're building this community means it's always changing. Hopefully changing and growing and becoming more like the community of God's people. But it's definitely changing. It's never really static. And if we're building it, then we're adding people to it. And I know there are times, you know, there are probably some of you have been to churches with thousands of people, and you come here and you say, boy, I like this as a smaller church. And I say, and I don't say it, what I think is, yeah, but it's not our goal, you know, to only reach a certain number of people and then we don't care about the rest or let them go find some other place. No, you are in touch with people in this city in a way that other people are not, and you have an opportunity to help them see who Jesus is and what he can do for their life, and then bring them into a community that would love them, support them, and give themselves for their, you know, full growth and maturity and release as representatives of God. And so if we're building a community, our hope is that we're always growing and reaching new people. As a community, we could have picked, I think we even argued over, should it be loving, kind, compassionate? We decided on compassionate. And as a church, we want to have a reputation for showing compassion to people who are threatened, hurt, broken by life. And there's one verse in Matthew 12:20. It was about Jesus, and it said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. And we're not trying to find people that are struggling and break them. We want to be a place where people who are struggling, they aren't sure, they may even have doubts about God, faith, how to live it out. They would even say, look, I know I'm living in sin and these things that I can't, I'm trying to get my arms around it. We want them to find a place that nurtures them towards health. I feel like this is a safe, loving place where people are patient with me to grow into what God has for me. There are two statements I wrote down here that we would rather demonstrate what we are for than protest what we are against. And you'll find that's really the way we are as a church. And the other thing, I think I got this from my country music friends here, always trying to get me to mention something about country. But we see the Christian life as a two-step of truth and love. And we choose to lead with love. It doesn't ignore truth. It doesn't deny truth. But we're going to lead with love. And I think that's how God led with us. And so this community, our intention is to draw other people. And we'll talk about what we're drawing them to. Ephesians 2:16 says, "Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death." You know, by our nature of our life in Christ, we are need to be a reconciling community who are seeking to help people find their way to God and also find their way to each other. And we see that probably working out kind of in a variety of ways and maybe in some particular groups of people. And I want to just kind of mention those. One of the things we say, we're drawing people of all cultures. And you all know and have come to understand, our country is going this way, and Houston is a tremendously diverse city. And there was a day we thought, you know, whites were the majority population. We are not. You're saying, wait, are you white? I can't tell. I've been called ethnic ambiguous before. Not because I don't know my heritage, but nobody else can tell for sure looking at me. We want to reflect the reality of our multicultural city. But in the midst of that, we know that we have a special call within that to embrace Latino cultures and the Spanish language. It just happens to also be the largest population of people in the city of Houston and is one that is constantly growing. And God has brought us in to the lives of people like that, not only here in the U.S., but isn't it crazy that now for Vineyard Missions USA that I am their representative to Latin America, which just puts us at the crossroads of this thing everywhere we turn. We also said we wanted to draw people of all generations. We haven't done that great a job with those older than me, but probably because, but I'll get there. I'll get there, and then you'll have us. But we have specifically felt a call to pass on our heritage of faith to succeeding generations. And I really think if we were living this out personally and individually, that whatever relationships we have, whoever we're doing life and ministry with, all of us would have an eye on someone and someone who are younger than us, that we would invest our lives into them, that we would pass on, give to them what we have so that they can carry on this good news and this good life of Jesus Christ, you know, in our cities, in our city and anywhere we're going to end up. Psalm 71:18 says, "Even when I'm old and gray," which I'm getting gray, but I don't think I'm old yet, "do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." We want to do that. You know, as we've, you know, been working in this, we realize on a little broader basis, we need to be a reconciling community. And it's not just limited to age or to culture. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And I think we could say this, if it's not fully true in practice, this is definitely our aim, that neither ethnicity, gender, or economics determine the opportunity to serve or lead in any capacity in this church. Those do not define your capabilities or your opportunities here. And that is really important to us. But we also want to draw people from other nations into this life with Christ as well. We want to reach beyond our own borders and help make Jesus and his kingdom accessible to people in other nations and in other cultures where it wouldn't make so much sense, you know, the way we live and do it or in the languages we do it. So we need to go among them. We need to live with them. Some of us need to move and live there. Others of us need to be going when we can to help them understand this and embrace this. And I'm so glad, you know, that today we had the highlight from Gina, because we found that within, you know, all kinds of opportunities, that we have sensed a specific call to Turkey and also to Latin America, and within Latin America, especially Mexico and Colombia, where we have put a lot of effort, have spent time, and have sent people and have been directly involved in helping churches planted there. So what are we drawing these people to? I guess in its biggest and broadest sense, we're drawing them to life with Jesus Christ. We're not just hanging out, you know. We love them. We do have friends. We do hang out. But our desire is that through our life with them, that they will be drawn into life with Jesus Christ. Now, we know that we have a triune God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. And you can't really appreciate God apart from that realization, that affirmation. And anytime you read scripture, even as I was reading just for my own in Colossians a couple days ago in the first chapter, just so impressed how Paul refers to God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. This dynamic of a God who's three in one is the God that we get and we are in. But we also know the reality that that God has revealed himself in laser focus in the person of Jesus Christ, who became flesh, a human being, and actually lived as a human being on this earth, who the scripture says, you know, in him God was pleased to have his fullness dwell, who is the exact representation of the image of God, and an image to which everyone who puts their trust in him and lives with him, we are being transformed into. He is the goal. We look at his life, we study his life, we try to learn his life to know this is what God is making us into individually and as a community. And so this is what we want people to discover. And, you know, I wrote it kind of in a negative sense. I'll just read it this way first. It's more than a creed, but it's even more than a relationship. It is a total way of life in which we invest the whole of our lives. Paul said in Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. I'll go back and say it in a positive way. Yes, there is a creed. There are things that we believe. And there is a relationship that we get to experience and actually be in with God. But it's also an entire way of life. Everything that we are as individuals and as a community is shaped by who he is and what God has done in him and is doing in him, that's now being carried on through his Spirit who lives and dwells with us. And there's probably so many things we could have said, but in our statement we said that life is to be characterized by at least three things that were really important to us and still are, and we want to hang on to. One is that our life with Christ would be authentic. And I know that word has a lot of meaning, so I kind of landed on three pieces of that. Authentic in the sense that it's real. It's tangible. It's, as Dallas Willard says, conversational. We want the biblical Jesus with all his power, kindness, toughness, brokenness, and mystery. We want the Jesus who we see, came to understand through the scriptures in the church and have experienced for ourselves in all of his fullness that we get and don't get, that scares us and excites us, you know, all at the same time. Authentic also means that we want a life with Jesus that's consistent. It's consistent in us. It impacts our desires, our words, and our actions, and all those things line up together. And it's the same when we're alone and when we're in public. And it's the same on Monday as it is on Sunday. That's being authentic. And it's also honest. We acknowledge our victory and our failure. We openly live in the tension of what we already are and what we have not yet become. We will probably never tell you, oh, don't say that. Don't admit that. You know, don't ask for a prayer for healing, but say you're sick. No, you are sick. That's why you're asking for a prayer for healing. We won't tell you, don't say that you weren't healed when we pray for you, because that'll put doubt and then you'll lose it. No, we'll probably say, did it work? Are you better? Say, I don't really feel any better. Okay, let's pray again. Being authentic is honest with what we have and don't have. That life in Christ is also to be intimate. And I'll just read it the way I wrote it here. We want hearts that are intrigued and captivated by his beauty, majesty, intelligence, humility, and kindness. We want to be filled with a passionate love for him and to live in his affectionate love for us. We want to know him better than any other and desire him more than any other. That's what we want for the people who come here that we're a part of. And we want that life with Christ to be supernatural. And that scares people too. Acts 10:38, talking about Jesus, said Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were sick and under the power of the devil. And we know from Scripture that he gave his disciples power to proclaim the kingdom of God and to demonstrate it in healing, emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, relational healing, and in deliverance from the power of evil, and even in its form and the presence of evil spirits and demons that affect people's lives. He has given us power by his Spirit through Christ to help people be set free. And that's part of the life with Jesus that we want to have as a community. And we want people to be able to enter into and experience. I'll just leave it there. You know, if I had a call today, I think it would be two things. One, I would say to those of you who are living life in Christ and seeking to do that more, and you know that God has made you part of this family, the Houston Vineyard, say you probably ought to reflect on this mission statement. Maybe even should pray it. How about this week? Turn it into a prayer. That I would live my life in a way that reflects that I'm part of a community, you know, that's building, that's compassionate, and it's drawing people of different cultures and generations into a life with Jesus that's authentic, intimate, and supernatural. I want to be that kind of person. And see what God would show you about what maybe he wants to do. I think the other thing I would just say is, if you're here today and you're kind of on the edges and you're still trying to figure this out, then I would invite you today to take another step and either accept what you've heard and been taught and seen in Scripture about Jesus to be true. If you believe it to be true, to enter into a genuine relationship with him. And if you believe you've begun a relationship with him, pour your whole life into him. Make your whole life available to him. And it may be helpful for you to turn that into a prayer. All right, Lord, I do believe in you. All right, Lord, I'm going to act like we have a relationship. You are real and that we can know each other. Or, okay, God, I'm going for it. Whatever that means, all the way, show me what that means. Let's go. So I'm going to ask, why don't you all stand up? I'm going to ask our prayer team to come on down to the front. All right? I'm going to just pray a blessing over you and let us go this morning. So let me bless you. May Jesus open your eyes wider to see him more clearly. May you experience his love and power. And may his life that's in you just overflow with passion and joy for the sake of others. The Lord is with you. Amen. Hey, thanks for being here, guys. Really appreciate you. See you next Sunday, and please get prayer before you go.